My Lord. must be better than the English one. I like words, language, and I like thinking about habits and how patterns of our behavior shape our lives. And I was thinking of looking at four of the nine verses that my King James Bible has that contain the word want. W-O-N-T, it's not a common word anymore. The key word for looking at some of these ideas about repeated behaviors. So in Mark chapter 10, verse 1, and he, Jesus, arose from thence, cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resorted unto him again, and as he was wont, taught them again. I don't have a lot to say about this verse, but it just has a flavor to me of again and again, again, heard this twice, and as he was wont, and it reminded me of the last night at day's job, or the paper talked about being not weary and well doing and working hard. It's like the life of service and never weird thing about doing. But I wondered if you think about how can we sustain that not wearying and well doing. And one part of the answer, I think, is another one that we're going to look at in Luke chapter 20, verse 39. And I think what it shows us, if I can put it this way, is the value of godly solitude. I don't want to go down too far on that path. And then it's not actually in this verse so much as it's a reference in this verse. The things you can read elsewhere. Luke chapter 20, verse 39, he came out and went as he was wont, the Mount of Olives. The disciples also followed him, so I didn't say, but for those for whom the word is not familiar anymore, since it doesn't appear in our modern translations, it's more like a custom or word wont. Custom or a pattern of behavior or a habitual action. So this is something he was accustomed to going to the Mount of Olives, and we know he would send disciples away and go into the Mount of Pray, or go to the Mount of Olives and come to the Mount of Galilee. But this Mount of Olives, look at the previous chapter of Luke, he would teach, said he teach, taught, excuse me, I like word. taught in the temple during the day and went all night. But this time he did have disciples with him, but I just thought about how he actually would send disciples away and be in communion with his father at night. And I never really quite wrapped my head around that. How one we know is perfectly God, but also is perfectly man, needed time away and solitude with God. And again, I don't feel like I can expound on this too much except to say that I think in our modern connected, always online society, it's even less than it might have been decades ago for us to allow ourselves really quiet solitude time and a substantial amount. And if I can say anything in concrete to myself, more than anything else tonight, is that, as we've heard others mention too last night or night before, for those of us who are our parents and for those of us who might soon be parents, that there's a tremendous amount of work involved in raising children, especially for mothers, and maybe something concrete that we need to do is to make sure that my wife has time to have in solitude with the Lord to get a refreshment. That if our Lord set that example of following that and included that, then maybe that's something we should think about. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 21. We're a different kind of thing. Maybe the last two are more fun. Exodus chapter 21, verse 29. But if the ox were wont, put with his horn, before he was born in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also put him to death. Make a couple of applications of this. Perhaps to think of Eli and his sons, and the judgment that fell on his house, and perhaps the judgment, at least the governmental judgment that could come on us as parents or those who are responsible, but I think of it perhaps more maybe make an application to procrastination. Because this doesn't necessarily deal only with someone who didn't care, it's fucking boring, but maybe with somebody who said, well, hey, I know, but it's taken care of in 3 weeks, so there's slaughter, and don't really do anything else to it off until then. Someone tragically died. And, we're not going to suffer in this country with a death penalty for procrastination. Probably kind of to finish university. But I'm speaking to myself here, but I think it's worthwhile to think about the fact that I reference question and answer James 4, so he didn't know what to do good. with or not sin. And procrastination, bad habit can be, and habits, are what most of our actions come from, sin on that part too. So then another caution in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 15, familiar verse, referring to Pontius Pilate. I know that all of us in the room are using Pontius Pilate as a moral guidebook anyway, but I wanted to point out something that he's doing here that I think might really fall into. Matthew chapter 27, verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release some people, a prisoner, whom they would. And I think this habit, this custom that he had, was completely defensible. It was a great idea politically. You have the Romans subjugating the Israelites, the Jews, and the Jews pressing back against that, having some way for the Jews have veto power, override some decisions on a yearly basis. That's a great idea for political stability. But it's completely a dereliction of the moral judgment that the title is supposed to be wielding. He was not using that veto power, not using a part of the power that was based on some valid injustice. He was purely giving over the ability of the people to decide whether a judgment should be carried out or not. And I take it, and maybe I'm wrong, but I take it that this is part of his logical process in convincing himself that it was all right to send Jesus Christ to be crucified, because he gave the people the opportunity to take it, to have Jesus released. And of course, none of us who are saved can ever make a decision of that gravity. So someone who isn't saved can make a decision of that gravity. But I think maybe the lesson, maybe it's a bit strange, but for myself, is that there are ways I think that we can make compromises with the world, or make compromises that are completely defensible from a logical standpoint. They make sense. Anybody, any onlooker, at least without a moral perspective, would say that makes sense what you're doing there. That's a good compromise, and it could also poison our ability to think morally, and could really lead us down a wrong path. And I think there are five other verses that deal with the word want specifically, and I think there are probably a lot of other things that could be brought out, and I think habits are very important. I don't have time to get into them already over time anyway, but I do encourage each of us to examine ourselves in general and about how our habits, not habits, but patterns of actions build up. As I've already mentioned this in the previous form of good habits. And of course, we all know this. There are ways that we can attack that in very practical ways, and hearing from all of you about how that's what you've learned about that in your life. So this is closing the ask for preference. Thanks.